This is Colt Gennaro Chat, the only weekly English language podcast dedicated to UEFA Super Cup winners Atletico Madrid and the official podcast of Into the Calderon, SB Nation's home for all things Atletico. I'm your host, Jeremy Barron. My guest on this edition of Colt Gennaro Chat, making his standard weekly appearance on the program, is Into the Calderon staff writer Rob Walker. Rob Walker is the guest on this edition of Colt Gennaro Chat, where we register our concerns from Celta. Atletico Madrid dropping their first game of the season. They lost 2-0 at Celta Vigo on Saturday evening. As I intimated just a few seconds previously, a more significant loss than you may initially think. Atletico failed to register a shot on target in a league game for the first time in nearly 5 years, as Celta dominated the second half, taking advantage of defensive errors and a red card to seal a pretty convincing victory. We talk about what Atletico have to do to escape yet another slow start, whether it's already cost them a shot at the league title, and should Diego Simeone drop his captain? We'll talk about all that and more, including the Champions League group stage draw, which will see Atletico go up against the likes of Borussia Dortmund, Monaco, and Club Brugge. Club Brugge, which is, according to our Belgium expert Rob Walker, the correct pronunciation. Before we jump on into all that, however, make sure to subscribe and listen to all new and archived episodes of Colt Gennaro Chat on your favorite podcasting platform. That includes Apple Podcasts. If you're on Apple Podcasts, make sure to leave us a rating and a review. It would really help us out, and it'll get more eyes and ears on the program. Finally, head over to our Patreon page, patreon.com/ColtGenneroChat, and sign up to receive some goodies, including the bonus podcasts, bi-weekly rumor roundups with Rob, and my own solo analysis pods after most Atletico Madrid matches. Patreon.com/ColtGenneroChat. We'll be back with Rob after this.
Arsenal won this morning. That's good for you, I suppose.
Yeah, I guess, against, you know, a team that hadn't scored prior to this game. So, no. Defense scored is still twice. Strong in the Arsenal lands. Defense is still very strong. So, not great.
We're tight at the back.
Yeah, no, that's never happening again, I'm afraid. Unless we hire Tony Pulis.
The Valencia derby looked pretty good this morning. Too bad it was on at 3 a.m.
I was definitely not going to tune in to that one, but it did turn out well. Better than most games I expect Levante to play in to be.
It means Valencia are still winless.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
So I guess it could be worse.
Yes, at least Atletico have one win this season, but they didn't pick it up yesterday. Yeah, they most definitely did not pick one up yesterday. 2-0 at Balaidos. Let's just dive right into it. Rob, your general thoughts on what we saw on Saturday?
I think it was kind of a
bad
combination of all the definitely bad, but a combination of all the sort of worries we've had the past couple of weeks. You know what I mean? Like the defensive players were pretty awful in general, and there really wasn't that much going on up front, so it was just bad across the board.
For the first time since the 2013-14 season, Atletico failed to register a shot on target.
Yeah, exactly. Not good. Not good. But the other annoying thing is that Celta weren't exactly great either. Just some mistakes from Atleti gave away some golden opportunities, and they took advantage of them.
Yeah, I mean, Celta, I give them a little bit of credit. I think they had a pretty organized defense. They had a good game plan. But Atletico made it way too easy for them, let's be real.
Individual errors really, really cost them.
Diego Godin, speaking of individual errors. A little bit of a Steven Gerrard slip there at the back.
Yeah, a little bit. And I think that's sort of part of the thing that we've known for a while, is that he's definitely not as athletic as he once used to be.
Yeah.
And that makes making the kind of challenges he attempted that resulted in a goal a lot harder than they used to be.
Yeah, and it was really just a simple back pass that Godin couldn't corral, and he just kind of slipped trying to pick it up, and Maxi Gomez his international teammate just kind of gallops on in to make it 1-0, and 5 minutes later, Iago Aspas doubles the lead because Stefan Savic can't mark anybody.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, when I first watched it, I thought it was Jimenez's fault. But then when you watch the replay, you see it's that Savic can't keep up with Aspas. That's the problem.
Yeah, there's a new one.
So Jimenez have to rush over to try to cover for him.
Also playing it right back.
That is a thing that did happen.
Oh, my God. But even when it let it go in behind 2-0, you know, there's still 40 minutes left. Simeone had all three subs. Just nothing doing. Again, the first time since October 2013 that Atletico failed to register a shot on target in a league game. That's almost 5 years. Shots were even, 10-10, but Celta had four shots on target. Atletico had nil. I think what Celta did that Atletico weren't really prepared for was that Celta gave Atletico the ball. Atletico had slightly more possession. I mean very slightly, like 50.4% according to Who Scored. And they just sat back and were very organized and very disciplined defensively, which we have not seen out of Celta much. We kind of know Celta as a team that loves to have the ball, that has very skilled, very technical players, but can be easily caught on the counter. This was not the case. I don't think Atletico were really prepared for that.
No, I don't either. And I think, really, when you look at the team selection, I kind of struggle to understand what the plan was against this sort of Celta team, which has been evolving over the last couple of years. And I don't know, it sort of seems like with the defenses put out there, they sort of underestimated the ability of some of the Celta players.
Yeah, this team selection, this was just an abomination. I mean, the initial team sheet had Jimenez at right back, but that quickly changed. Jimenez moved into central defense. Stefan Savic moved to right back, but he didn't really venture forward, like, if at all, until the second half. So Angel Correa kind of was a wing back in a way for a little bit, and then for most of the first half, Atletico just decided we're not going to use a right back. We're just going to put everything through Felipe and see what happens. And somehow it worked for a little while. Atletico looked pretty good the last 10-15 minutes of the first half. Griezmann came relatively close from outside the box. But then it just immediately after the restart, Celta just started tearing Atleti apart. The advantage in midfield was gone. Beltran and Lobotka were just excellent, just passed rings around Sao and Tomas. And then the subs, just they came too late. They didn't really stem the tide at all. I mean, Kalinic offered nothing. Lemar just couldn't really get going. We saw Santiago Arias, but he too came on way too late. Just slow to react from Cholo, and the initial team was just so bad.
And I struggle to understand how he got to this team selection. After what has sort of worked the past couple of weeks, he just kind of changes it up again in the midfield back to a system that we saw a lot last season, and it wasn't really good. So I don't know why we're running this one back with Koke and Correa on the wing. That's not ideal, guys.
No, or playing Stefan Savic in any capacity.
Well, yes. But, I mean, I think I've sort of given up on worrying about him playing Stefan Savic. Now that he has a red card, at least he'll be forced to not play him.
Yes, he picked up a red card in the 70th minute for a handball, a second bookable offense, and Matteo Lajos sent him off. And he will not be playing against Eibar after the international break. So that will make many people happy, not Diego Simeone, because Simeone loves him. But it will make many people.
I'm glad at least we saw Santiago Arias to know that he's alive. I sort of got a little bit worried about that, so maybe he'll play.
Yeah, I suppose.
He probably won't.
I suppose that's a positive that Arias is alive, and it's hard to say if he played well or not because we only saw him for about 20 minutes, but it looked kind of dangerous when he whipped in a few of those crosses. But, yeah, I mean, Atletico weren't dangerous at all. They just never came anywhere close to scoring. Understat had them at 0.43 expected goals for this game.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. And the chances they got came too late and they missed them. There was a lot of missed. I mean, obviously, it's said earlier, no shots on target, but man, some of the misses in this game were quite painful.
Yeah, just really quite bad. And Celta honestly weren't much better. 0.68 expected goals.
Yeah, so that's the thing. It was a close match, but, you know, Celta took advantage of some really terrible lapses in concentration.
And even then, Celta were clearly the better side in the second half. They were clearly on top. And boom, this is what happens. This is what you get.
And we're bad. We're bad in almost every way.
And again, Atletico have started slowly. You know, one win from their first three games. Last year, Atletico drew their first game and started the year with 6 wins and 6 draws. The year before that, Atletico lost twice in the first 6 weeks against Barcelona and Villarreal in 2015-16. Actually, no, 2016-17, it was even worse. They drew against Alaves and Leganes to start the year, who at that point were just newly promoted. So you see a pattern here of slow starts. The last time Atletico got off to a really fast start was 2013-14, when they won the league. And it wasn't a coincidence. Atletico won their first 7 that year.
Yeah, and it's strange. I mean, I guess in some way you can blame it on the World Cup thing, but I don't even think that's part of it. I don't really understand what the goal was in this game. That's what I've been struggling with.
Yeah, what was the point of this particular lineup? I mean, I guess I can maybe understand starting Jimenez at right back for a little bit because Pione Sisto has been in really good form, and he's a really good player. And you need physical, at least one really kind of burly physical center back to deal with Maxi Gomez. But both of those ideas just, they backfired. And Felipe Luis had no answer for Iago Aspas. Iago just cut him up most of this game. That front three were just devastating. In a way that Atletico hadn't really been bothered by them before.
Yeah, it was a real struggle for the vast majority of that match to get anything going offensively, which is, I think, a worry. It seemed like the attack really has been sputtering a bit, because clearly they haven't scored too many goals to start the season. So we were hopeful that Griezmann wouldn't get off to another slow start like he did last season, but we're sort of getting a little worried at this point.
Yeah, you don't think 2 goals in 3 games is enough?
I don't know. I'm worried because in this match I wasn't really feeling it from Griezmann. I don't know, something. I mean, he had some shots, but he just couldn't get them online.
No, I mean, Griezmann, I understand, because he's still coming off the World Cup, and you know, either he is insisting or Simeone is insisting on starting him and playing him most of the match anyway. I'm not too worried about Griezmann. I'm worried about Costa. Because a second straight game without a shot, not even on target, just in general, he just doesn't look like himself. He's not getting the ball. He's not getting any service whatsoever. Just another really poor game from him. And he hasn't scored yet. 3 weeks into the season, he still hasn't scored since the Super Cup. So this is... I'm concerned about that. And I know it's September 2nd, but I'm concerned about what we saw against Celta. It was very troubling to see Simeone leave all of his new signings on the bench, spent 120 million euros, and all of them started on the bench. And I don't really know the justification for that. He stuck with a system that is more and more often being figured out, especially in La Liga. Everyone knows Atletico play a 4-4-2. Everyone kind of knows what they're going to do in it. So what Celta did to counteract that was give Atletico the ball. And Celta just made themselves very difficult to beat at the back. And that's a key for beating Atletico. You know how they're going to set up. There's not much variability here. And part of the reason we were so excited about bringing in Lemar and bringing in Rodri, bringing in Gelson as well, and those guys, bringing them in, we were excited about it because it meant Simeone could change the system. Atletico could be a lot more flexible. And the early returns say Atletico are not really going to change.
Yeah, I guess that was always a big concern of it, is Diego Simeone willing to change his beloved 4-4-2?
Yeah, I mean, he's always been wedded to
because
his
forever
formation.
He's, yeah.
Not that that's a bad thing, because it's led Atletico to a lot of success, but at some point there has to be, I feel like we talked about this before, but at some point, I know it's early in the season, but there needs to be some steps taken. We need to see some change. We need to see progress. tactically, and with the pieces Cholo now has, I mean, so often we see Cholo try to fit players to the system rather than fit the system to the players.
Yeah.
And that's why we've seen players like Nico Gaitán, for one, Yana Carrasco to another degree. Some of these other signings he's made over the last couple of years, they just haven't fit in because Cholo has been so inflexible in changing the system. I mean, for God's sake, he started Stefan Savage at right back on Saturday.
Yeah, and once he gets his guys, it's very, very difficult for him to change the team up. Once he's got a guy he likes somewhere, it can be very difficult to usurp him. And I think one new thing else, Atlanta needs something else to throw at teams. Like you said, other teams know exactly how Atlanta are going to play. They need something else they can throw at opposition if they're getting shut out like they were in the Celta game and not creating anything. They need to be able to change it up.
Yeah.
They're just too predictable for them.
If this game showed anything, it's that Atletico are getting figured out in La Liga. We kind of talked about this the first half of last season, and that turned out okay in the end. But with all the hype and all the signings Atletico made this summer, to just continue to play this way is not good enough. It's not acceptable. Atletico have way too much talent and way too much potential flexibility to still be doing this. And I honestly don't know if Simeone knows that.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I mean, last week against Rayo Vallecano, I think, as you said, when we previewed that game, they should have been like 4-0, and they should have. But they didn't, because they sort of did the Atletico thing, where they kind of score and then kind of fluke the opportunity and then hang back the rest of the match and say, please God, no Black, save us. And he surely did. But as we talked about last season, you can't just keep going into these games and rolling the dice on a 1-0 lead and see if you can hold on or not. Because dropping points at any stage is extremely, extremely painful when it comes to the title race.
Yeah, dropping points in La Liga, especially early in the season, it just kills you. I mean, I tweeted this yesterday. Real Madrid started with 3 wins from 3. Barcelona are probably going to start with 3 wins from 3. They're playing Huesca today. Meanwhile,
Huesca.
Yeah, vamos. And meanwhile, Atletico have dropped 5 points already. And Valencia, how many points have Valencia dropped? Valencia haven't won yet through 3 weeks. You see kind of the dichotomy there between starting fast and starting not so fast. And Atletico have started slowly each of the last few seasons. You know, last season they made it kind of interesting in March before Barca kind of ended that at Camp Nou. 2 years ago, Atletico led topped the table in October before fading. Like really fading, and then somehow finishing third after Sevilla faded even worse. And then the year before that, Atletico were in the title race until the second to last week. But if they'd started a little bit better, they might have won the title that year. So slow starts in this league particularly, they just kill you, because Madrid and Barcelona are not going to drop very many points. You need to make sure you are as good as them. You're keeping up with them. And Atletico aren't keeping up with them.
And that's what we see every single year. I mean, if you drop points, the other two big teams will take advantage, almost certainly. Even they'll go down 2-0 in the game and come back and win 4-2. I mean, that's just sort of the kind of things that happen. I mean, these games were all winnable. And I think probably they needed to, because especially with the strong start of Real Madrid and Barcelona, it's now going to be more difficult for them to get back into this race already, even though it's not a lot, so we're not going to freak out, but it's worrying at this point.
I mean, the league, I asked the question yesterday, is the league title race going to be over by the end of this month? I mean, it could be.
We'll see with some of the big games that are coming up, but it's hard to say that already, but if one of the big teams drops a bunch of points and gets a big lead early on, then yeah, it could be getting there.
I mean, who knows? I mean, Barcelona have a really tough Champions League group that's going to demand a lot of them. Real Madrid, I think Madrid's start is actually kind of sustainable. I think they've been playing really, really well. Marca and I think Marca, yeah. They said yesterday, after Madrid's win over Leganés, Real Madrid played with 11 for the first time in 9 years. I'm like, oh, you trying to whitewash Cristiano now? Wow, okay. Wow. Wow, Marca.
Yeah, exactly. Kick him once he goes out the door.
Just kick him to the curb. Wow. But no, I think what Madrid have done is pretty impressive, and we'll see if they can keep it up. But yeah, it's just, you can't be dropping points like this, like Atletico have early in the season. You just cannot be doing this. And after the international break, I think things are going to have to change. I'm going to get controversial right now, as the kids say. Rob, are you ready for me to get controversial?
I embrace.
I think Diego Godin should be dropped.
I was going to say the same thing today. Hey, I completely agree with you.
We're both controversial. All right.
Yeah. I think so. I think the time has come for the long-vaunted Lucas and Jimenez pairing effect.
I mean, that's perhaps so, but this is a guy who's now 32 years old, going on 33. He hasn't had a proper rest since the World Cup, and we're seeing some knock-on effects of that. Two just critical errors in three games that have cost Atletico points. We don't expect that out of Godin. He's a peerless defender, but this season he's looked very, very average.
Well, I think more likely than him being dropped for his recent poor form, I think it's maybe even more likely that he gets dropped for that exact reason of not having much rest. I think if there is going to be a way he's dropped, Diego Simeone is not just going to drop him because he loves him and trusts him, but if he has, like, he's like, I'm dying here. I've played a bazillion games the last few years. Please give me a rest. Then maybe that would work, but it's worrisome. I don't see it happening, to be honest, because we know what Simeone likes to do, which is keep running the same guys out there again and again.
Yeah, but he should be dropped. He is no longer, at least right now, he is not one of the two best center backs in this team. Lucas and Jimenez are.
Yeah,
right now, with his form, with how bad it is, he is not one of the best defenders in this team. I know he's the captain, he's a club legend, we love Diego Godin, but right now he's simply not up to snuff. And maybe that can be taken care of with a little bit of rest against Eibar and possibly Monaco. Maybe it won't, but Godin on this form should not be anywhere near the starting 11. I'm sorry, he just shouldn't be. And just that was another curious thing. Lucas didn't get on the pitch at all yesterday. Rodri didn't get on the pitch at all, and that upset me. Because we've talked about how Rodri can just change everything about this team, and you know, he once again just doesn't play. You know, I
don't get that at all. I don't get that.
It's the second league game he's already missed. Like, just Cholo's got to figure this out. And this is a deeper team than he's probably ever dealt with. Like the 2015 the 2015-16 team had a lot of options, but by the end of the season, they had either been sold or loaned or cast away to Siberia. This team has more legitimate options, and Cholo is still trying to figure what options are best for which situation, and I get that, but the team he picked against Celta was just totally, it wasn't good.
No, I still don't understand it. Rodri has to be starting, I think. And I think if by some miracle there is a change in defense, I don't think that would be a bad thing either.
Yeah, we'll see what happens after the international break. Also after the international break, though, we have the Champions League.
Hooray.
It's exciting. So enthusiastic.
Yes. Excuse me.
What did you make of the group stage draw?
I thought it was interesting. Atleti obviously got two good teams, not like the highest level teams, sort of the second tier quality teams. So I think it should be an interesting group stage. It'll be tough, though. There's no... The two teams in Monaco and Portland, I don't think those are going to be particularly easy games.
I'm intrigued. I'm much more intrigued by this group than I was Group C last year, because I didn't want to play Chelsea again. I feel like Atletico play them every year.
And that group stage last year was bad.
Yeah.
So many different ones.
And there was a team from Azerbaijan that Atletico played that we shall not name. That as an Arsenal fan, you'll have to deal with them now. You'll have to deal with them double.
I was hoping you hadn't noticed that.
I did.
Arsenal get to go to beautiful Azerbaijan.
Yes, Arsenal Karabaj. Oh, that's going to be fun.
Yes, flying out to the middle of nowhere. But
Gunners fans are going to be like, oh, we're going to beat this team 16-0, and then they lose 1-0 in Baku.
Exactly. That's exactly what Karabaj do every time. Okay, God. Well, for the draw in general, I thought I don't know. I'm interested in the Juventus, Man United, Valencia group outside of Atletico's, but I think Atletico got a pretty interesting group as compared to some of the others. Obviously, Barcelona got a fairly tough group.
Yes, they did. I think that's the toughest group, personally. I think Barcelona will end up winning that group, but they're going to have to earn it. That's going to be a very, very tough group.
Well, Liverpool, Napoli, PSG should be interesting as well.
Tell you what, I think Napoli are going to get out of that group. I don't know at whose expense, but they're going to get out of it.
Carlo is a wizard.
I've been saying, no one's listening. Carlo Ancelotti is a knockout wizard. Maybe it's at Liverpool's expense. I don't know, but I think Napoli get out of that group. I'm telling you.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what Thomas Tuchel's PSG are like. I think that group should be a lot of fun. And then there's like, what is Group D? Like, those clubs must be like, how did we get so lucky with this weak ass group that two of us are going to get through when they'd normally not even get out of another group?
Yeah, Group D is like, that should be banished to the old Intertoto Cup.
Yes, exactly. Like, what, why?
Yeah.
Why is this a group?
Any of those four teams can win it. Like, I'm going to watch that group just for the hilarity.
We know about Lokomotiv.
We do, yes. And we know that Atletico beat the brakes off them in the Europa League last year.
And now they're in the Champions League. This makes a lot of sense.
Sure, right. I mean, they won the Russian League, apparently.
Ah, yes, of course.
Yeah.
Jefferson Farfan.
That does put you in pot one, so.
Yeah. Somehow. by some miracle. But yeah, it should be an interesting Champions League this year. I'm pretty pleased with that Lego script. They don't have to go too far. That was the other thing.
Yeah, that's. I think
no
that's,
Russia, no Eastern, no Azerbaijan.
No former Soviet republics. They don't have to. Go 5,000 miles away. No, the furthest they have to go is to Dortmund.
And that's not bad at all.
No, they get a nice vacation to Monaco, and then they gotta go to Belgium. So,
yes, to Bruges.
Is it Bruges or Brugge? I've seen...
It's Bruges. I have been there, for the record.
Oh, you have?
Yes, I've been to the Bruges.
Oh, how is it?
It's a nice little place. They got, like, big churches and stuff. It's pretty.
Huh.
Would recommend. Did not go to the football.
Well, good.
It was during the 2014 World Cup. I was there when the United States played Belgium.
Ah.
So, yes. Behind the enemy lines, as it were.
Well, I did not know that. Yeah, I'd seen several different pronunciations.
Yes, I believe it is Bruges.
Yo, you're the expert.
It is. There's, but that's all I got.
You're the expert now.
Well, yes. Yes, I am a Belgium expert, as everyone knows.
Well-regarded Belgium expert.
Yes,
well-regarded,
well-praised, authored many novels, and that sort of thing.
Well, we will be calling on your expertise in a few weeks, Rob. But I think this is manageable for Atletico. It's not going to be a cakewalk. No, let's not say that. But these are all teams that that can take the initiative, that have goal scoring in them, that have attacking flair and technical ability in them, but Atletico can just sit back and wait for their opportunity. I think it can be an easier job against these three teams than it was against the three teams last year. So on paper, this looks like a better draw than last year's, but we'll see how it plays out, and absolutely no guarantees after what we saw in the group stage last season.
Yeah, I think one positive for Atletico, this is probably Dortmund at its lowest ebb in a few years. They've lost a lot of really good players and haven't really replaced them. They still got some decent players, but compared to their success in recent years, getting to the Champions League final, winning the league, whatever, they're kind of at a down point at the moment.
Yeah, still very good, and they have Christian Pulisic, of course, burgeoning American hero.
Yes, he's on his way. And then Monaco, of course, we get to see an old friend, so that'll be fun.
Yes, a reunion with my personal favorite Atletico player ever, Radamel Falcao. Monaco are kind of in that same place. They're kind of at a lower ebb now, lower output, because they've just lost so many good players over the last 2 years, including Thomas Lemar, who will get a little reunion with his old teammates.
Yeah,
at Stade Louis II in just a couple weeks.
I'm sure the crowd there will be rousing, as it always is.
Yeah. And
12 people go to their games.
And it's an attendance joke.
they don't have many fans.
And Bruges are kind of, they're not the unknown that Carabage were, but Bruges won the Belgian League last year, and they scored a ton of goals doing it. So,
I'm sure they did.
Yeah, it should be interesting. I think Atletico have clearly the best defense of any of those teams. So there you go. That's your big advantage right off the bat, is that Atletico will have the best defense of any of these teams.
Yeah, they just need to get a lot more wins than they did last year. As we saw, some of those draws were just brutal.
Yeah.
So I think Simeone needs to kind of go against what he normally does and go for the win more than he does in the league at times.
Yeah, just if you're going to set up in a counter-attacking kind of way, just make sure it works, you know? Just have the weapons at your disposal. Pick the team the right way, man, you know?
Pick the team the right way. I heard that. And yeah, let's see something a little bit better than what we saw against Celtic, because that was awful.
And on that note, I think we will wrap it up.
Yes, let's.
Yes, Rob, thank you, as ever, for joining me today.
A pleasure.
You can follow Rob on Twitter, at rwalk03. You can follow me on Twitter, at jbbaren. That's J-B-B-E-R-E-N. Follow Into the Calderon, at Into the Calderon. Like ITC on Facebook, at facebook.com/IntoTheCalderon. Subscribe and listen to all new and archived episodes of Colts Narrow Chat on your favorite podcasting platform. That includes Apple Podcasts. If you're on Apple Podcasts, make sure to leave a rating and a review. And check out the Patreon page, patreon.com/ColtGeneroChat. Become an amigo from as little as $3 a month. $3 a month. You get access to all the bonus pods, the bi-weekly rumor roundups, and my solo analysis pods after most Atletico games. Not all, but the vast majority. patreon.com/ColtGeneroChat. We'll be back next week. Until then, adios.